Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our annual press conference. This year, we are holding it at a historic and very special place. For Siemens, it is also a very characteristic place. We deliberately chose this venue because, in addition to presenting the business figures, we wanted to let you catch a glimpse of the real Siemens world. At the beginning, I would like to make a few housekeeping remarks. First of all, please turn off your mobile phones or mute them. And if you want to take pictures during the press conference, please do not use a flashlight. If you want to listen to the English version, headsets are available at the entrance. We will have simultaneous interpretation between German and English. German is channel 10, English is channel 11. We're also broadcasting the conference on the internet, and we will now hand over to Mr. Löscher, who's going to give you an overview of the business figures, and then Mr. Käser and Mr. Löscher will be available for your questions. Mr. Löscher.
Thank you very much, Mr. Heimbach. Ladies and gentlemen, a cordial welcome also from my side to Siemens annual press conference, and a cordial welcome to our gas turbine plant in Berlin. The turbines you see in the background here, in combination with a steam turbine, achieve an efficiency of over 60%. That's a world record. This is the strongest gas turbine of the world, and we surpass all our competitors with this piece of engineering, and that is our ambition here at Siemens. We want to continually deliver top performance. The past fiscal year strengthened our commitment to this goal. In a difficult environment, we increased our revenue by roughly 7% to 78.3 billion euros with income from continuing operations of 5.2 billion euros in fiscal 2012. We achieved the second highest earnings in our company's history. However, relative to competitors, we did not achieve the targets for new orders and profitability. That motivates us to do better going forward. Despite substantial one-offs, we attained our forecast for fiscal 2012, however. We achieved moderate organic growth, a book-to-bill ratio of about 1, and income from continuing operations within the range defined in the guidance we provided at the half-year mark last fiscal year. So fiscal 2012 exemplifies what Siemens has been able to achieve over the entire past decade, a substantial increase in earnings. In 2002, earnings per share was 2.92 euros. In fiscal 2011, it had jumped to 7.04 euros, and in fiscal 2012, it was 5.09 euros. Our shareholders benefit from the good results of the past fiscal year. The managing board and the supervisory board will once again propose a dividend of 3 euros at our annual shareholders meeting in January. Our shareholders have also benefited from our stock buyback in recent months, amounting to about 2.9 billion euros. We concluded that yesterday, and for the future, we're aiming a payout ratio of 40 to 60%, taking into account dividend and possible future stock buybacks. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd now like to take a closer look at the past fiscal year. It was a challenging year. Contrary to our original expectations, the headwind in the economy rose. In addition to that, we faced specific problems and challenges in individual businesses, which we reported several times in the course of the year. In this environment, the employees of Siemens worked hard, and for that I'd like to thank our employees throughout the world and at every level of our organization. The diversity of our employee culture is a special strength of Siemens. Employees from 40 countries work here in this gas turbine plant alone. 90% of the turbines produced here since 1972 have been exported. This shows our performance and the level of globalization, but also the diversity of experience and background of our employees. I now turn to the performance of our four individual sectors. In the energy sector, the picture is mixed. Revenue climbed sharply by 12% to 27.5 billion euros, while new orders declined 14% to 26.9 billion euros. Sector profit was 2.2 billion euros. It was strongly impacted by the known charges from the grid integration projects for wind farms in the North Sea and by a re-evaluation of receivables and credit risks related to existing contracts in Iran. On the other hand, the sector profited from its broad and solid setup throughout the entire power matrix. This creates numerous opportunities for the sector to participate in and shape the transformation of energy systems in Germany and throughout the world. In July, we received the order for the turnkey construction of the Lauswort combined cycle power plant in Düsseldorf. With a block generating capacity of approximately 595 megawatts and an efficiency of over 61%, this power plant sets new records in both parameters. Also in July, we signed a general contract with Dong Energy for the delivery of 300 wind turbines with a total capacity of 1,800 megawatts for the Gunfleet Sands offshore wind farm in the United Kingdom. The wind turbines will be driven by the world's longest rotor blades and, for the first time, operate without gears. And 1 year ago, we inaugurated our new gas turbine plant in Charlotte, North Carolina. It will enable us to profit from the very positive development of the natural gas market in the US. In view of the economic developments, the industry sector was able to deliver a very stable performance. Sector revenue rose by 5% to 20.5 billion euros, while new orders slipped lightly to 20 billion euros. Sector profit was 2.5 billion euros. In fiscal 2012, the sector strategically strengthened its position in the field of so-called vertical IT, that is to say, software solutions tailored to the specific needs of industrial customers. This represents a market that already today has an annual volume of 60 billion euros and that is growing faster than conventional markets at roughly 8% a year. During the year, we further reinforced our position in this attractive market by acquiring the Canadian network supplier RuggedCom and the German software company IBS, and also by investing more than 20 million euros in a new industry software center in Genoa, Italy, which will offer more than 600 jobs beginning in 2014 and bundle our competencies in vertical IT. We see very good opportunities in this market, and I'll return to this topic at the end of my overview. The infrastructure and city sector delivered a profit of 1.1 billion euros. Its revenue climbed 4% to 17.6 billion euros. New orders declined 20% to 17.2 billion euros, mainly due to the major orders booked in the prior year by our rail business. Above all, you all remember the major order for the ICX trains. It's clear that the discretionary nature of project business precludes consistent annual revenue. And after the record orders in 2011, the rail business did not receive any orders of comparable magnitude in 2012. In all other divisions of the sector, however, we booked larger order volumes than in the previous year. For our business in cities and conurbations, we expect further momentum from the Crystal, the Center for Sustainable Urban Development that we opened in London in September. Many of you were able to gather your own impression of the center on site. Finally, we can report a very positive development of the healthcare sector, which substantiates the sector's success in rigorously implementing the Agenda 2013 program launched last year. Sector profit grew by more than one-third to 1.8 billion euros, and revenue climbed 9% to 13.6 billion euros. The sector also increased new orders by 5% to 13.8 billion euros. In addition, the sector presented its new Magnetum Spectra Magnetic Resonance Imaging System in March, a further pioneering innovation in the 3 Tesla field. With its excellent price-performance ratio, it sets new standards in cost efficiency and so opens up new market segments to the broad application of this technology. Ladies and gentlemen, so far for fiscal 2012, we accomplished a great deal, but not everything we originally aimed for. The One Siemens cockpit makes that evident. In revenue growth in the upper left section of the cockpit, we've bet our competitors recently. In profit margin in the upper right section of the cockpit, the sectors energy and infrastructure and cities dropped out of the target corridors. The industry sector's profit margin declined but remained within the corridor, and the healthcare sector's profit margin climbed. In addition, our capital efficiency also decreased, albeit within the target corridor. We deliberately fell short of our capital structure target in fiscal 2011 in favor of high liquidity. But in the meantime, we have taken measures to resume the course toward our original target, for example, by the stock buyback program. It's clear, ladies and gentlemen, that we want to achieve the demanding targets that we have set for ourselves. And this means that we are aiming for a leading position among the competition. Somewhere in the middle of the field is not good enough for Siemens. Our company program, Siemens 2014, will enable us to meet our ambition again. The program adds force to our One Siemens target system by driving its implementation and bolstering our profitable growth strategy for achieving annual revenue of 100 billion euros in the medium term. As we work hard toward that goal, we expect no tailwind from the global economy, at least not in 2013 and not in the markets we serve. That's why it's so important that we work efficiently, that we become more productive, and that we do an even better job adjusting to the challenges in our markets and in the global economy, because we want to be as financially strong in the future as we were in recent years, particularly in fiscal 2011. We want to continue to grow profitably and to drive sustainable value creation, and we want to continue the positive development of our company in recent years. Accordingly, our goal is to raise the profit margins of our sectors from 9.5% last fiscal year to at least 12% by 2014. All sectors are working to increase the profit margins and to keep them in their respective target corridors. Overall, we intend to boost gross productivity by about 6 billion euros. To that end, we have defined 5 levers in our Siemens 2014 program. The first lever is cost reduction. Here we expect procurement to contribute the most. We expect procurement to contribute 3 billion euros to earnings in the coming 2 years, particularly through the greater integration of procurement and supply chain management with engineering and R&D. For example, to improve design to cost. We expect a further major contribution of roughly 1 billion euros from the improvement of our global capacity utilization and footprint, that is, by optimizing our research and production structure, and we intend to save another 1 billion euros by improving the quality and efficiency of our processes and project management. We expect the implementation of these measures to result in transformation costs of up to 1.5 billion euros over the next 2 years. Of this total, around 1 billion euros will accrue in fiscal 2013, and this amount will comprise a variety of measures, including write-offs, as an example. The second lever aims at continuously strengthening our core business. This involves strategically reinforcing our portfolio in key areas through acquisitions and also carefully analyzing and changing less profitable activities to prevent them from diminishing our overall performance over a longer period of time. The third lever is aimed at our go-to-market. will create a better sales and marketing setup and thus optimize our access to regional markets. In doing so, we will be more flexible in adjusting our setup to regional conditions and opportunities. The fourth lever aims at reducing complexity. We will reduce the complexity of our internal processes and regulations and give our businesses greater entrepreneurial freedom and more time to focus on customers. So we will significantly reduce the number of directives from corporate and sector headquarters for the global business and for the global and for the regional companies. The fifth lever relates to our internal infrastructure. We will optimize our global internal infrastructure and eliminate redundant functions and parallel processes. Our sectors have already identified areas in which the first two of the five levers can have an impact and have started to implement concrete actions. We intend to boost the productivity of the energy sector by 250 million euros, for example, by standardizing our 50 and 60 hertz gas turbine models and by implementing our supply chain concept more rapidly. The healthcare sector already took the lead a year ago with its Agenda 2013 and has, for example, entered into an attractive sales partnership with Varian in the field of oncology. The infrastructure and city sector will make its regional setup in Europe more efficient. And finally, in our industry sector, we will adjust capacities to the weak demand for wind turbine gears. As for the second lever of the program, as far as the second lever of the program is concerned, that is strengthening our core business, we are today announcing two further actions related to the industry sector. We plan to exit from our water technologies business unit and will restructure our remaining activities in the water business. Water technologies is a business which is highly fragmented on a regional level and does not create synergies with the rest of our portfolio. Obviously, we will continue to be active in the water business, for example, with our desalination solutions and with control systems for water treatment plants. And, subject to approval from the responsible authorities, we will enhance our industrial software portfolio by acquiring the Belgian company LMS International. LMS International is a leading supplier in the field of simulation and testing of mechatronic systems. Its products and competencies improve product development and production processes for its customers and so strengthens their competitiveness. In the course of the next 2 years, we will keep you informed of measures related to the first two levers. We will report on the implementation of the other three levers at the conclusion of the program 2014, in 1 year from now. Ladies and gentlemen, I now turn to the outlook for the fiscal year that has just begun. First, however, please note that starting this fiscal year, the accounting standard IAS 19R is in effect at Siemens. Taking this technical change into account, reported income from continuing operations for fiscal 2012 is 4.9 billion euros on a comparable basis. Let's come back to the outlook. Fiscal 2013 is the first year of the implementation of the Siemens 2014 program. The goal of the program, as I've already told you, is to increase the total sector's profit margin to at least 12% by fiscal 2014. In the first year of the program, that is to say 2013, we expect moderate organic growth in new orders and revenue approaching the level attained in fiscal 2012. Based on the retroactive application of IAS 19R, we expect income from continuing operations to range from 4.5 to 5 billion euros. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Löscher. We will now start the Q&A, and please show your hands if you want to ask a question, and I will then give you the floor. We're starting with Mr. Finke, and I will also collect the other requests for the floor. Mr. Finke. Good morning. I have two questions. One question relates to the following. For the offshore wind parks, another 66 million have been incurred. And is this the end of that? Or are there any more problems on the horizon? And the second thing I would like to ask, Osram, what's your planning there? Can you tell us how many percent you want to, or what kind of a shareholding you want to maintain, etc.? Thank you, Mr. Finger. Let me start with the network connection. During the quarter, there are no major changes regarding our timeline, which we devised. But, of course, we have to realize that we have achieved 60 to 70% of the overall plan. So from what we know today, we're in line. But, of course, we're not seeing any delays compared with the previous quarter. But, of course, as I said, the degree of progress is different. The largest is between 60 and 70, and the less developed ones are a little further back. So this is something we need to bear in mind. Thank you. And also, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to be in this productive production hall. It's always a nice setting for people from headquarters. Now, Mr. Finke, let me also come back to the offshore question. This has to do with the statement in the balance sheet, 1.5 billion figure. Now, the cost expected has been written off, so every bit that the cost has exceeded would, of course, also have to be stated in the balance sheet. So for that reason, we cannot rule out that there might be updates. Also, given the fact, as Mr. Löscher said, that the degree of completion is, in some cases, not very far developed. On Osram, there are really no changes. We are planning to spin off the company. We want to have an IPO and also then leave that company up to its own priorities. Further questions? Mr. Reipkar, then Mr. Köhn, then Mr. Flämich. Mr. Reipkar. Thank you. Good morning. First of all, Mr. Löscher, I would like to know whether you could sum up for us. If you say that you fell back in 2012, where were the major errors or omissions? And then you said that the deinvestment and acquisition program, with the two measures you mentioned today, that may not have been the end. Now, can you give us an impression of what we can expect to come? Are you planning for any larger deinvestments or acquisitions? And then one more question on the understanding. 4.5 to 5 million euro for the current year is a figure you gave us. Now, this includes AO for the cost program. This would be 1 billion plus for 2013, right? Thank you very much, Mr. Reiter. Let me start with the portfolio. This is one important lever also for the action program we launched. Now, we deliberately want to check our portfolio to monitor continuously where we have business fields which should be put to the test in the sense of the best owners. So do we have businesses where there are synergy potentials or which other companies can do better than us, or where there are conditions where maybe conditions have changed so that the business environment is different and that the original assumptions no longer apply. So the first two measures you saw, solar 2 weeks ago, water today, and in the future we will also consistently look at those business fields. And this doesn't mean we're selling them off, but it does mean that these businesses, which are maybe further downstream of the contribution margin or also the development of profits, they receive special attention here. and there will also be continuous measures going forward. And, of course, there's a side that the core of Siemens, we want to strengthen that in the portfolio content. Acquisitions are one lever which we've identified for ourselves. For many quarters, we have done so. So we are looking at possible bolt-on acquisitions. And with Siemens, this may mean several billions. This is our focus, but please always see this in the context. We are strengthening, but we're also implementing consistent measures. If we have a valuation, the result of which is that other companies can do this better than us. So we have a very clear, focused portfolio policy in the implementation of the measures of the management of Siemens AG. Regarding the guidance, indeed, the 5.184 as a basic value for 2012, and when you apply the new pension standard, you get to 4.9. The forward guidance, 4.5 to 5, includes 1 billion of so-called transformation costs, which is exactly what you said. Now, where did we fall back? We fell back relative to our competitors. We have an excellent year behind us, but other competitors did a good job. And now this is, of course, we would have liked to see fewer surprises, for example, in the grid connection. This is lightning that struck during the course of our business year, and in many business fields, we were excellent compared with our competitors. Healthcare, for example, went through a great growth curve. But overall, I suppose we could say that we have now defined for Siemens as a whole that our ambition is in a macroeconomic environment where we have a flattening business cycle curve. It is our ambition to strengthen the margin strength from 9.5 to 12, and this applies to our entire portfolio. Mr. Köhn, and then Mr. Flämich. First of all, I have one question. The 6 million, the 6 billion euro, and I saw five, or I heard five in your speech. Now, where's the six, or where's that additional billion in terms of cutting costs? Then the ramp-up of the cost-saving or cost-cutting, is this going to be a continuous ramp-up, the 6 billion, or will you have a dynamic effect during the first year because of baseline effects, or will this be a continuous process? And then, in the course of the portfolio analysis, have you identified the revenue volume which is going to be under scrutiny so that we can see the dimension of what Siemens Group is checking? And, well, Mr. Keser, you're smiling, my standard question. Have you added up how much special effects you had last year? Now, there are many individual items we see here, but this morning I have problems with my arithmetic. Can you give us a total figure? Mr. Köhn, now, of course, I'm smiling benevolently, not because I've been anticipating your questions. So quite seriously, maybe I can take your final question. This is a question that we also hear in our internal bodies. The total effects, that was 1.2 billion during the last fiscal year. Now, this includes, of course, items where we didn't do a terribly good job, but things which also struck without our own fault. For example, the toughened sanctions, which also resulted in some value adjustments, but the total amount of 1.2 billion. Then you talked about the costs and the ramp up of the measures. What Mr. Löscher talked about, what our program is planning for in 2014. Now, this is the target year, and for a good reason, because the 2013 year is almost half through for an infrastructure company. Now, the focus of our productivity increases will come in 2014. The major part of the 6 billion will be in that year. But also remember that in our guidance we stated that we the revenue target 2012, we want to achieve a similar profit quality as 2012, and this means that we need to be very productive. For example, there is inflation. We have to compensate for price erosion, which the market is expecting from us. So you can assume that in 2013, productivity measures will come. Also due to the fact that the special effects in 2013 will not be expected as we have in 2012. Now, the 5.2 billion, which we've achieved in 2012, when you look at the IAS 400 million figure, now you get 4.7 or 4.8, and our guidance for 5 or 5, this is sort of in the middle. So this shows you that in terms of productivity, we are being quite ambitious. Maybe one word about your final question. Now you heard 5 and saw 6, you said. This is because Mr. Löscher basically explained the two first items. Now, this is the main part of the savings, 3 billion. Then design to cost, which is, of course, mainly to do with the bill of materials in the profit and loss, about 1 billion by getting better in processing projects. You could maybe put this under the heading of process improvement. And another billion, which comes from the improved value creation as a result of the transitional spending measures. All that, we have put this together because the impact is there, but it concentrates, of course, on the first item. One more on the portfolio, right? That was a question about our portfolio analysis and a possible revenue volume which is going to be scrutinized. Now, I hope that you'll understand that we cannot give you a figure. This is an ongoing, continuous process. Now, the question is, do we know the figure? The answer is yes, we do. And the consequences from this will be announced very punctually, as the one with the water today.
Mr. Flemich and then Mrs. Meyer. From the Börsen-Zeitung, three questions. As for fiscal 2011, Siemens really went full throttle into the downswing of the economy. This didn't happen to other companies. Was this just bad luck, or did you make mistakes? Second question, concerning your cost restructuring program, 1.5 billion cost will be the transformation cost. How are they shared between the individual sectors? You have mentioned write-offs. Can you differentiate more? And the third question, it strikes me that costs for general administration have risen in the fourth quarter, and this makes it hard to believe that you can actually save costs in this field. So, next question, your strategy cannot include a general figure for job reduction, but some measures have already been mentioned. So, which effects do you expect on the payroll figures? Mr. Käser. Thank you very much, Mr. Flemich. The conclusion that we have to start our cost reduction program with some investment can be deducted from the figures we have opened and we have shared with you. This is doesn't need any comment. In 2010, after a very successful transformation of our company, And after focusing clearly on growth, we continued our growth strategy. The situation was oriented towards growth. We were expecting the start of a growth cycle, at least according to traditional experience. But as opposed to the past, this growth cycle did only go halfway because it conflicted with the debt crisis and other deteriorating effects on the worldwide basis. Our option was optimizing our value chain and creating added value. So we had to switch to productivity and costs. We could have done this earlier, maybe. So if you're driving with your car and you look into the rear mirror, you think that you've already seen this. And conclusions are more easily to draw in retrospect, but things get more difficult and more complex when you have to anticipate. So in a nutshell, we can say that growth has been our method of choice for adding value. This didn't work as nicely as we've expected. Our capital efficiency declined, so we have understood the signs and had drawn our conclusions, and we see the result of this process and the new targets of the program 2014. The 1.5 billion euros we post as transformation costs take effect with an amount of 1 billion in 2013 and 400 million in 2014. The 500 million are part of the another program. This has to be clear. 1.5 billion include value chain restructuring measures, but they include before all the restructuring of production sites, consolidation of construction sites, and the reduction of infrastructure costs as a whole. Insofar, it wouldn't be correct to speculate on major effects on the workforce. SG&A, we have to say that our SG&A includes a substantial material part of the 500 million we have booked in the fourth quarter in terms of functional costs. That is to say, the operational rise of resource-driven costs has declined substantially. It would have been more advantageous to have started earlier, but we already see the first effects of our OPEX instruction, and I'm quite optimistic and confident that our company, if the company works in a clearly focused way on our cost structure, will reap the benefits we expect. I think this was all concerning your question. There was a question on the reduction of workforce. Yes, you have already given an answer. Yes, I think I've said everything we can say on this issue.
Ms. Meyer, and then Mr. Stahl, third row. I have three questions. One is on purchasing. You want to save or cut costs to the tune of 3 billion. Now, this is a very high figure, especially because there has been a purchasing initiative. Was that not successful, or can you tell us about the success of that first initiative, and how are you going to cut another 3 billion cost? Have you been a bit slack there? And the second question, you hinted that revenue will maybe go down a bit. Can you maybe give us a corridor, a bandwidth of that? And then tell us why there will be a reduction in revenue. I don't think your competitors are giving such guidances, and the world economy is not so bad, and you want to outgrow the world economy you said, are there special divisions which will sort of drag down your revenue figures? And the final question on selling off the water business, this is a big business, 1 billion revenue. Why are you doing this? Water processing plants are a nice thing, something that fits in nicely with your green strategy. So just how badly did that business perform that you're selling it off? Mr. Löscher, Ms. Mai, and start with the water business. We have said time and again that Siemens is focusing on an environmental portfolio, and we saw with pride that for the first time in July 2008 we're at 17 billion, now we're at 33. Now last year we've also seen considerable growth. One major element of that environmental portfolio, however, is that across the product range of Siemens, resource efficiency and energy efficiency of our next generation of products is going to be implemented. And you see one excellent example here when you look around. Now, we are not managing the company by topics. We're looking at every business and we see if there are business fields which are changing in a way that makes us feel that Siemens cannot differentiate itself sufficiently. Now, Siemens bought the water business some years ago. We've managed that business for a while since then. And actually, chemical treatment of water has a different competence. These are chemists. This is a chemical competence. This is a multi-local business. Which we haven't been able to globalize as much as we were assuming. It is very much a local business. So this is why today we said this is the end of it. This is just water treatment. Automation technology, control technology for the water business, all that, all the electric components, all this is going to be focused on water and remain to be so. This is a good business. We have a margin and revenue development which is not in line with our target bandwidth, but it is very clearly something where, well, there will be consolidation in that business, and as far as we can see, this is something that is driven very much by chemical companies, specialized companies, not so much by an electric company. Now, so much for the water. Then the question about the revenue. First of all, we have 40 billion order backlog for 2014. That's good. On the other hand, we are very careful in the sense that we assume that certain markets are showing that we should act very cautiously, although businesses are still running well. Think of the short cycle business, the industry automation business. We are seeing a certain reservation also on the part of the automotive industry. So we think that mechanical engineering will also be rather reserved. So we don't think, and this is unlike last year, we will be operating in an environment where, remember we assumed that we would have tailwind during the second year. We believe that 2013 will remain a more difficult year and that the growth impulses for the short cycle business will not result in any major upswings in that business. So we think that we are being realistic and we're focusing on, or we're watching how the world economy is going to change. Then on sourcing, yes, maybe I can take that question about purchasing. You may remember that in 2011 we said during a conference that from 10 to 11 about 1.3 billion costs were reduced during 1 year. And the 3 billion apply to both years. So if you like, this is 1.5 per year, on average per year. So this is something that we've attained. Secondly, the 3 billion for a period of 2 years as a target was something that was not just to do with purchasing and getting better prices from our suppliers, and but also a combination of development, production, and purchasing in a design-to-cost initiative where the landscape has changed. We've done very good work in recent years cleaning up the purchasing situation, to clean up the structure of sourcing, to reduce the number of suppliers, and also to use the possibilities which lie in a bundled or centrally managed purchasing. Now we want to go further, and that is combining production, development, and purchasing. Sometimes when you buy 10% cheaper, you get 5% more scrap. So it's not always right to use to buy at the lowest price. But we are, well, shall we say, quite optimistic, almost optimistic, certainly very positive that we'll attain our targets without asking our suppliers to give donations, if you like. We're going to have a win-win situation. And one more word about the water. Mr. Löscher has addressed this, but there's something else, and this, I think, is very important. It's a decisive point. If you want to focus, if you want to prioritize such a focused approach, you have to walk the talk. Now, if it's so important to buy a company for 680 million with the EBIT multiple, which does not have the standards of a capital goods company, and if this is so important, and we believe that it is, for many reasons we can discuss at length, but if this is so, then management does not have time for other things because it has to concentrate on also depicting this and focusing here on putting this value in the into the process, into the integration of the company. And you can rest assured that our company is going to keep focusing on this.
Mr. Stahl and then Mr. Schulz, good morning. 5.2 billion euros is the second best operational revenue of your income of your business history, but you just say that this was quite the fiscal year was quite good only. What would this be in terms of school notes? Well, if you look into each other's eyes and ask ourselves, how could this year have turned, how could this fiscal have turned out if we had done everything right? Think about the 1.2 billion, think about our projects. If all had went right, we would have achieved an exceptional year. So we have to face the facts that we did not tap our full potential. Competitors were better. In 2011, we were the leading company, and we want to be back in the leading position in 2014. And normally students get their notes by teachers, that is to say by you, the journalists, and the capital markets, and we will see how they judge our result. Mr. Schulz, please, and then Herr Weiss. So 4% is quite good.
I want to get back to the topic of headcount reduction. If you're a businessman, you have to make provisions. You talked about severance payments. Now, this is, you would have to know how much not only the biggest share is you talked about, but also the smaller share, because this is someone must have come up with that figure, or someone must have calculated that figure, although it may not be in your income statement. Answer? Well, the known restructuring we also agreed on or discussed with the employee representatives, and which is also subject to the Industrial Relations Act, was posted in 2012. This was a three-digit type figure. Now, this is something we're implementing, and first results will come in 2015. The billion we gave you are, of course, not part of the statement for 2012, and in details we've communicated this, and although this has all been agreed on, it is not, it doesn't figure in that statement. Now, let me say something. In 2013, our revenue situation is going to be a bit difficult when you talk about growth, which is due to the fact that in 2012 we had a double-digit decrease in new orders, and new orders yesterday means our revenue today. So there's no surprise if the curve is going to be rather flat. But we have to differentiate here. When you talk about restructuring in the broader sense, is it a temporary weakness or is it a structural problem? Now, a temporary weakness, for example, a business cycle dip in the automotive industry, which is a major factor. Now, the last measure we take is shed HR, people that we've searched for years, and we were grateful we found. We don't want to get rid of them unless we really have to, because we will need them again when the economy picks up. But of course, if there are structural problems, for example, in Europe, now there is a new situation, and if such structural changes are not going to be reversed in the medium term, then of course you have to take measures, which we will focus on. And this is also what we mean when we talk about the 2013 and 14 planning.
Good morning. Two rather technical questions. So, Mr. Käse, I've seen that the definition of your dividend quota has been precise. Now you include the stock buybacks. So, do you want to be more careful with dividends in the future, or do you plan further buybacks? And second question, EBITDA multiple of LMS has been addressed, which is not in the industrial area. I assume this is to be high. Can you say how high? And third question to Mr. Löscher, if you want to stick to your 100 billion objective, if you make new acquisitions but also make disinvestments, what are your plans for the future to achieve this target? What can make us believe that acquisitions will improve the situation in the future, or do we have to see the combination of different measures in terms of investment and divestment? I will start with the last question. I think this is a very important element that you highlight. First of all, quite intentionally, the 100 billion objective was defined as an ambitious target. So we never defined a year where we want to achieve this target. We always have said that this translates our ambition, and this is the One Siemens target. Our ambition is to improve capital efficiency and profitability and grow in both areas. We are currently in a stage where the business cycle has flattened, but the quality of our portfolio is going to be strengthened by improving our growth in the core business. And LMS has to be seen in this context concerning the high level of in industry automation. And you can be sure that we want to continue to invest in our core business and separate us from activities which do not allow for growth or for technology leadership. In terms of capital allocation, we are going to be very consistent. So you can expect both from us. So I may then answer your other two questions. The definition has changed from a pure dividend. The dividend payout ratio has changed to a combination of dividend and share payback. As a consequence of our conference in June, we have learned that sometimes you're better advised to help the shareholders with a buyback in times when the share price has gone down, as opposed to a dividend payout. So we wanted to sees the opportunities in terms of the total shareholder return to make sure that the earnings per share remain attractive, and that as opposed to a dividend payout in cash. So this depends on the positioning of the management and on the expectations of the management for the nearer future. If the share price is low, as it was the case in June, then the method of choice is to buy shares, to buy back shares, and to help shareholders. If we believe that the share price is rather high, then the method of choice would be a dividend payout. So it's all about optimizing the shareholder benefit. That is the motivation behind this change. The EBIT multiple of LMS, well, let's put in these terms. If we had the same multiple for Siemens, then the market value of Siemens was would be highly above 100 billion. Mr. Pride, please.
Good morning. Siemens was expecting growth and the market slowed down. And now my question is how you can control a company in these volatile times. You talked about short cycles, or are the short cycles incalculable? Have they become normal, and has it become very difficult to plan anything in the medium term? The second question, acquisitions. In the press we read that you're interested in the Saldo Energia in Italy. Now these reports start in June. The question is, why is this all taking so long? Are you still interested? And my third question, which may be a bit provocative, Mr. Käser, the snowball is gone. Does this mean a new beginning? Sorry, not the snowball, the Schnurrbart, the German word for a moustache. Ah, there you go. Right. Let me start with a portfolio. I don't want to discuss potential or ongoing negotiations. Now, two parties have to agree on something. The seller has to be ready to sell, and the buyer has to be ready to buy at a price which satisfies both sides. Now, this is something that we are focused on. We are working on this, and you can rest assured that this concerns not only Saldo Energia. This is always true. We're watching the situation. We have a clear focus on our business, the business we want to strengthen. Now, you said, you mentioned the volatile times. Now, the thing to do is always to do your homework, influence those factors which you can influence. Look at costs, focus on productivity, process projects in such a way that there are no unpleasant surprises. These are all operational strengths which Siemens has worldwide, and this is independent of the economy. Once we've done that, we can clearly focus on growth markets and plan where we want to inject capital to strengthen certain growth initiatives. So our own operational power, this is what we focus on, and this is also something which is going to support us in this more volatile environment. Mr. Käser? Yes, your third question. Let's put it this way. If you say that Siemens, the situation has changed, new haircut or the mustache has come off, as you put it. But if that mustache grows again, this does not mean we have a hidden profit warning. Mr. Höppner.
And after Mr. Fetcher. Mr. Höppner, please. I have three questions, two short follow-up questions. With regard to acquisitions, do you still believe that you can manage larger acquisitions up to 3 billion, or is it more about know-how increasing? And the second question has been addressed by Mr. Fleming. JP Morgan has added 5,000 job cuts. So is this a figure we can use? And the last question concerning the new mega cities and infrastructure sector. I know that this is a long-term business, but do you have the impression that this helped us to develop new business, that you could use synergies? Some people say that this just rises the level of red tape. So is this the activity in this sector justified by the results? Let me start with the figure of several billion, without giving specific figures. We have said time and again that several billion with value of 78 billion for the entire company, this means bolt-on acquisitions. And I don't know the exact figure. I think Siemens in total, if you look into the job impact, we have created jobs. We now have headcount of more than 10,000, two-thirds of it in the production on the production floor. Of course, we have some consolidation effects, but we have created jobs in the past. As for infrastructure and cities, let me make one thing clear. First of all, these all were businesses we already had in with Siemens. We just have regrouped and restructured them, and we have highlighted them. There is a higher level of transparency. There's a margin objective for the sector, which is new. So this is infrastructure business, which cannot be judged with the short cycle expectations. This business, infrastructure and cities, if you just focus on urban development, means the following. The major trick will be to focus intentionally on business you can really manage based on your core competences. We do not put our stakes on growth exclusively, but we think in terms of growth solutions and long-term service agreements. So this is certainly not a sector which can create new growth opportunities in the short term. This is impossible due to the nature of this structure. So we want to convince Mr. Busch and his team that he will provide examples on how he consolidated the sector, how we focus our attention. And I think this is going to be a sector which is promising and which can strengthen our portfolio. So this is not a new business to Siemens. We already had these businesses before. We just integrated them into a newer sector in order to tap future opportunities. In terms of headcount, I understand that such discussions are quite suitable for headlines in the media. But if you boast, as a manager, you boast the reduction of headcount, you have to ask yourself why you're not able to create jobs. So the reduction of headcount can only be justified with the structural problems. If you reduce your headcount and boast your capacities of reducing headcount, this is just a sign of weakness. We do not want to comment on this. If we have to reduce our headcount, we start to discuss this with the people in the company, with our employees. This is a tough enough job. We do not want to comment on this publicly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vetter, Ms. Meyer, and then Mr. Muttle, if you have any further requests for the floor, please tell me. Otherwise, I would then close the list of speakers. Mr. Vetter, Now, you don't like to talk about this, I realize, but on headcount reduction, I want to ask one more thing. Mr. Käser, you are differentiating between temporary and structural weaknesses, and you named Europe as an example of structural weaknesses. Does this mean that possible headcount reduction might happen in Europe predominantly? And maybe you can talk about Germany and the situation there. Do you see structural weaknesses, and could there be a headcount reduction? Answer, no. I just wanted to illustrate that just because the revenue will probably be at the previous year's level, and obviously, if productivity increases, you would have to reduce headcount if you want to be arithmetic. But we're not reducing headcount without knowing exactly whether we have a structural situation or a temporary weakness. This is what I meant. A temporary weakness might be, for example, the automotive cycle, where we have a lot of cyclical developments, where a lot of other industries are associated, chemistry, polymers, semiconductors, mechanical engineering, and there you would not take structural measures because you would expect the OEMs technologically and in the competitive sense to be among the leading industries in the world. So you would rather try to make the working times a bit more flexible. And remember 2008, 2009, where Germany with its companies and also politicians showed that there is another way rather than reducing headcount. Now, structural things are, for example, when a product life cycle ends, or when economic regions, which used to be the locomotives of the global economy, will stop assuming that role. These are structural situations. It doesn't make sense to wait there because things will deteriorate. So what you do is you think about new structures. You think how you anticipate the new situation. Now, I don't want to generalize, but in Europe there are certain national economies which will never return to where they used to be in the past 10 or 20 years, at least not in the next 10 years. So you have to look at what this means for a company and its position in its go-to-market, what it means for us. So this is something we're going to do. And if we arrive at the conclusion that we have to rearrange the structure, we will do so.
So I am now closing the list with 7 people who are going to take the floor. Mrs. Meyer, again, follow-up questions. Can you give us concrete figures on the burden on the solar sector in the fourth quarter, and how much did the solar experiment cost you at bottom line in 2009? And as far as EBITDA multiple is concerned, we have made some calculation based on Bloomberg figures that this should be around 12, so please comment on that, because we do not want to write faulty facts about the EBITDA multiple, DR multiple. And you didn't answer my question on the water business. Oh, I forgot it. Okay, so I can expect an answer. So you can tell us if this business is deficient, as it posts a deficit. So if, as you said, revenue decline, this will make some jobs redundant. So can you imagine a four-digit headcount reduction? Let us shorten the discussion. I think we shouldn't try to... we should try to be quite frank between us. At the end of the day, this will have an impact on the headcount. But this program, and this must be clear, this program is not a headcount reduction program. The Siemens Group has not simply defined a job reduction plan, and operational units have to implement that. Mr. Fleming has made a nice comment on that. He said this program is much broader. It will be driven by the different business units. Processes will be simplified. Some streamlining will take place. And we will then have to discuss with the workers' representatives of the units who are concerned. There's not much more to say about this today. Mr. Käser, please. So, you've mentioned the profit situation for the water business. Percentage was in the one-digit range. Water generates the same amount of free cash flow than the new acquisition Shell Supply after integration. This is important to know because if you consider the situation under rating aspects, then the free cash flow will not change substantially, at least not in the current fiscal. And you said, Bloomberg said higher than 12. This doesn't exclude 15. So if you're above 12, this doesn't exclude 15. Solar did cost us 250 million euros after tax in the fourth quarter. 254. And it's too early to quote overall costs because it's too early. We have to discuss some effects before we have eventually sold the business, and only when we have concluded this business we can report on the losses generated by this business. Of course, costs are higher than the 250 I mentioned. Some estimates went substantially higher, but we also will get a price for the business when we sell it. So it is too early to conclude. And profitability, of course, that's true. If with a low revenue curve and you assume productivity is about 3%, this has a certain effect, unless you have a price deterioration, because price deterioration has to be added. If you achieve the same revenue, but you have to into account price deterioration of, let's say, 3%, you have to sell 3% more product in order to achieve the same amount of revenue. If you assume 2 to 3% price deterioration, that is what we expect for 2012 through 14 and average, then this means that you have to need 3% more higher productivity in order to keep your headcount. Otherwise, you run into difficulties. So this is not a monocausal development, but it all also depends on price deterioration. Mr. Madeleine, and then Mr. Benz.
Thank you. If you look at the profit margin and the targets, 12%, and then look at oil and gas and power transmission businesses, you could almost get the impression that those businesses are not going to make it. Are you optimistic that you will, or is this going to, will there be measures? And then these special burdens, 1.2 billion for the next year, can you break this down? And one more question to Mr. Käser for the price erosion. This 2.5 to 3%, this affects the whole group, right? Or this is for the whole group? Yes. Mr. Käser, so that 12% more, minimum 12% figure, this is something we want to attain in 2014 for all sectors, the sum of our sectors, the total sector profit. Now, there will certainly be some which will underperform and some will overperform. Many will overperform. And this means, of course, that through optimization and through focusing also in our spectrum, there will be an accretive effect by diluting elements. Now, your question about the are we optimistic? We will achieve a lot in 2 years' time. Otherwise, we wouldn't have said it. And we will stand by that. Now, of course, unforeseeable things may happen, but we will talk about those when they happen, if they happen. 12% at least for the profit total sectors. This is our commitment. And now, this was not relevant for the moustache, but we're taking this seriously, Mr. Benz, and then the other person.
Mr. Lesche, 2 years ago, you have made a striking statement here, which impressed many people. You have said Siemens now has become a normal company of global leaders. Would you say this again, or didn't you meet this ambition? This makes the difference. In historic terms, we now would have leaned back and said, oh, great, we have the second best operational income of our history, let's celebrate. But now we look at where the competition stands and have to admit that we have fallen behind. So in 2011, we were in the leading position and we want to get back into the leading position. That is our ambition. Then people ask us, okay, but this you have to take measures, you have to implement an action plan, so this cannot be a normal company. But I would like to ask you to understand this as a program where we all have to roll up our sleeves. Each and every company in this world has launched a similar program. And we are doing the same thing. The objective is to declare our ambition to get back into the leading position. We do not let anybody discourage us from this objective, and we want to be the best in terms of profitable growth. We want to be comparable with the best in class. This is the One Siemens Cockpit tool. This is why we have created this tool, and this is why we use this tool for every quarterly review. 2012 was good, but we did not meet our ambitions, that is, we have to say. And in 2014, we want to be in a position to say that we have come back to the position we want to achieve. But normality, in the terms that we have become a company which has to discuss cost and productivity, and that we demand operational excellence from all our businesses, has to do with the fact that if the macroeconomic environment deteriorates, then our teams have to roll up their sleeves and use our internal levers for growth and profitability. Thank you very much.
Now, over to the left, we can't really see you, sorry. Class of Dow Jones, I have four questions. I think this was mentioned. Now, did Siemens react a bit late with its efficiency program compared with competitors? And can you give me a practical example how this improved project management is going to look like? And one question on the water business, which is going to be shed. Can you give us a flavor which proportion of the water, of the total water business this was? Are you going to sell off one quarter of your revenue or so? And then I don't know if I missed it, 5 out of 10 planned billions in terms of cost cutting were illustrated, but the sixth one I couldn't find. Maybe you can answer me that one. Mr. Käser, yes, of course, I'll take that question. Thank you. The efficiency program, too late. I tried to use the metaphor of the rear view mirror. Had we known that the cycle was going to take only half the time, it might have been done a bit differently. But it's better to do it than not to do it, and this is what we've done. And I believe that we have now committed to a very ambitious profitability increase. What do you do to improve project management? Now, there are a number of operational measures. One thing is preventing to run into burdens as we had in 2012, which then resulted in the 1.2 billion. And again, you asked me to break this down. 600 million were attributable to the North Sea and the connection of wind. 200 million were Finland and the reactor. And from this, you can see that we are talking that we had to struggle with enormous problems in our projects. And this is teaching us not to want to do too much at one time. So we are focusing on projects and we are working on them one by one. Now, if you need some more information at the sector conferences, which are in September, if I remember correctly, you will have an opportunity to learn more. There will be an energy sector conference where there will be a clear focus on the divisions, and we will also keep reporting on the progress there. The water business. So this is what we're planning to share. This is approximately that billion. At an earlier point in time, a part of it, about 20%, no more, were split off and then integrated into the oil and gas business under energy. It is also very profitable. It's a very organic development, if you like, of those activities. And this is running well. The 5 billion out of 6 you mentioned, the 5 billion concentrate under point 1 of the program. So 3, cost cutting, purchasing designed to cost, better projects, 1, and the rest you also found. And now that 6th billion is all 3, or comprises all 3 measures of go-to-market, infrastructure, and, of course, the improvement of internal improvement of processes. Now, since this 1 billion was attributable to 3 different points, we didn't want to give individual examples. Mr. Reibke and then Mr. Flämig.
Two short follow-up questions. The 1.5 billion you mentioned as transition costs for the new program, do they include write-offs and write-offs amounting to how much money and in which areas? And Mr. Löscher, I know that you don't like to comment on competitors, but there are some homemade causes for your problems. But do you also see structural disadvantages of your company based in Europe as opposed to other competitors? I will start with the competitors. Of course, this can change in the course of time, but in the current crisis, each and every company which is located in a market characterized by a recession has other challenges to tackle than a company which is operating in a growth market. That is an additional challenge. That is beyond any question, but this will change in the course of time. I don't see a structural disadvantage in general terms, but of course this can have an impact on our business. Let's take the solar business. We bought the solar business. We had two markets in the focus, Spain and the U.S. In both markets, the subsidies have been cut and both markets have more or less disappeared. Mr. Kayser has already talked about this situation. We always have to look into the analysis of the infrastructure developments of various European markets. In the current European crisis, this is an additional challenge for us. Others who have Asia as the home market are in a different situation. Our strength is that 34% of our revenue is generated in emerging markets. So we are quite nicely positioned. This is not a problem too large to be managed for us. So we are talking about 6% of our revenues in the countries affected by the crisis. But the regional variations between markets are more important than a couple of years ago. 1.5 billion. Let's come back to this situation, to this discussion. These are costs covering the entire range, including reevaluation of assets, for example. For example, if we consolidate locations, sites, office buildings, because we streamline processes, this entails a reevaluation of assets because the write-off period changes, or we have different situations in terms of rent. This can entail value adjustment, including other areas. Then we have to invest into some structure, and we have to adjust, to make certain adjustments in terms of added value. Mr. Flemich, please. And then Herr Weiss as the last person to speak.
Two short questions. Your target margin of at least 12%, how did you fix that? Is this a benchmark with your competitors, or is it the 2011 level, or what is it? And the second question, the Iran business, further burdens have been announced. To what extent? Answer. We evaluated the possible consequences of sanctions, for example, on the ability or maybe even willingness of customers to pay in that region. And the result of that evaluation has resulted in a change in the balance sheet method from a percentage of completion method to cash-based accounting in our balance sheet. Now, this bores people infinitely, but this caution in our balance sheet approach has resulted in a 50 million effect in top line and bottom line, and also in orders received. Now, this figure or this amount is not gone. We're just a little more cautious in our reporting. Now, when that money comes in, of course, we are going to state it, obviously. And just by way of precaution, if there is a potential deterioration or a toughening of the sanctions up to a possible escalation scenario, we have a certain financial exposure in the context of these businesses. Remember, the project, if you look at this production hall, it's not just a small product which you put in a shelf and sell it elsewhere. These are large projects which have been made specifically for a customer, for example, turbines. This means we have a certain cost involved keeping this in operational condition. And in cases of force majeure, such developments as can occur in Libya or Iraq, there's a certain time until things normalize again. And until such time, certain costs are incurred because people are involved, the project is still there. And secondly, if there is an escalation, which of course we hope will never happen, there's also a possible asset exposure in that country. So these things are not considered to be probable, or rather probable, but it is, of course, good practice in disclosures that there is a possibility involved. Mr. Weiss. One is still open, the 12%. Equal or larger than 12%. This is open, of course. It could be higher, and the 12% actually were the result of thinking, what can we do? What have we achieved? Now, the 12 has been around for a few times. In some cases, it was correct. In some cases, it was adjusted by special effects. But it is possible in the context of the operational power of the business. So we agreed on 12 as the minimum figure, and we'll see what happens. Now, maybe this afternoon, if you have the opportunity to look at the financial market debates, you may hear voices from colleagues who are maybe overambitious and see, well, this is not very much. Look at 2012. So you could, of course, also think along those lines. So we said 12 or more, which means that we may, of course, achieve more.
Mr. Weiss, please. A technical question to Mr. Käse. You have commented on the expected cost pressure amounting to 2 to 3% of price deterioration in the coming years. Could you also comment on cost inflation? And the closing question to Mr. Löscher concerning what you have planned for 2013, cut costs and reorient some businesses. The cost, keep the cost low for the program, reevaluate the portfolio, review the portfolio. This looks as if you had your head bowed down and had your calendar, the agenda full for 2013, and so your agenda seems to be complete for 2013, and opportunities to go forward will be dealt with later once the agenda has been dealt with. Is this a fair evaluation? I think the board of Siemens AG has done something quite simple. We have a clear strategy, and this strategy is supported by very simple measures. We do simply do our homework. This has to be done by our teams. This has to be implemented by our teams. So we have the head clear and free to develop the appropriate strategic measures, and we have the ambition and we have the determination to implement this program. So our head is clear and free for the to plan for the future. Mr. Käser, price deterioration, yes, we anticipate price deterioration for a two-year period in terms of 2.5 to 3% on average. Cost inflation is more difficult to anticipate because you have different situations in Germany, in China, in other countries around the world. So it's very difficult to establish an average figure because this is highly determined by regional factors. But the measure we gave you is correct. So with 2.5 to 3% of revenue, then you can calculate the effect. So is that fair enough? So it entails some work for you, but you can find a suitable result.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the Q&A session. In the afternoon, you can follow the analyst call on the internet. Our financial calendar states the 23rd of January as our next date, when with the publication of the first quarter's figures as part of our annual general meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, you're now invited to stay on. We're inviting you for a little snack. Mr. Löscher and Mr. Käser will also be available. And I would like to mention this explicitly, we're providing guided tours through this gas turbine plant, and maybe you have time for that also between the snack and work, and it's really worth the effort. It's a very nice guided tour. So thank you very much for coming. See you next time, and bye-bye.